This is Emma Smith. You listen to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome to Faith on the Field Show, presented by International Justice Mission. I am Rob Motti with my beautiful wife, Remy. It is great to be with you again in L.A., Las Vegas, Orlando, Charlotte, Atlanta, and our hometown station, Philadelphia 97.5, The Fanatic. Thank you for tuning in. Happy June.
Yes, finally. Half the year is over.
What does that mean, half the year is over?
Because this is a good half. I like this half.
Every half's a good half.
No, but this half is great.
You got a lot of exciting stuff going on.
Yeah, this half is summer, so I'm happy.
You're never going to be complaining about that anymore.
I know, but this
is
fun,
though. You're not going to be complaining about that anymore, but we're not going to give it away yet. We'll talk about that at another time. Our special guest this week is Warrick Dunn, who is a three-time Pro Bowl running back in 12 seasons in the NFL. But Warrick's story to get to his point to where he was an NFL player and his journey is incredible. He was the oldest of six, had a single mother, her name Betty Smothers, and she worked tirelessly as a police officer until January 7, 1993, when she was ambushed and killed while escorting a businesswoman to make a night deposit. And at the time, Warrick was only 18 years old. He was on his way to Florida State University, and he had to raise his siblings, go to school, go to college, and developed into a number one first-round draft pick by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But then that year, as a rookie, he's got all this stuff going on. He's helping raise his siblings, and he's trying to be an NFL player with the Buccaneers. But he decided, and he was urged, and you'll hear about this coming up from his coach at the time, Tony Dungy, who's a tremendous man of faith, but talked about giving back, and Warrick founded the Homes for the Holidays program, and it was kind of fulfill his mother's dream of home ownership for single-parent families. And he has since helped 189 homeowners and 512 dependents in 24 markets, just building homes for them, which is an incredible thing. He's such a soft-spoken, awesome dude. I always enjoy talking to Warrick, so that's coming up next segment. But this month, Warrick has two special events. On June 10th at 6:30 p.m., the Warrick Dunn Charities Foundation hosts its Juneteenth celebration. It's a night with Warrick Dunn Charities and Warrick and NFL Network Steve Weiss. They're going to host an engaging dialogue surrounding diversity and inclusion while featuring guest appearances from several players in the NFL. Then on June 25th, Warrick Dunn Charities is going to host a wine, dine, and cigars with celebrities. That'll be hosted by Sage Steele, several others. 25 NFL players, celebrities are going to be in attendance. It's an exclusive experience. It's limited to 200 guests. He'll talk about that, so stay tuned for that. But as I was talking to Warrick, and then just this week, giving has been on my mind. Mm-hmm. Giving has been in my heart, and I've just been thinking a lot about it. And I often revert to and refer to Matthew 25:40. We've talked about this often. Whatever you do for the least of my brothers and sisters, you do for me. And that's just a powerful verse, and it's Jesus speaking, and it's incredible. But then I was looking at different verses in the Bible, Acts 20:35, and in there it says, you should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. But then this one hit me the hardest. Mm-hmm. 1 John 3:17-18. I just kept reading it and thinking on it. And it says, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth.
Right.
How can you read that verse, reflect on that verse, and not be moved into action? And as we do this show and International Justice Mission has partnered with us, and then we think about all the children, all the people who are still stuck in slavery, human trafficking, and all of the injustice that they're going through. And to read this verse and reflect on it and think about it, that's the first thing that comes to my mind is IJM and the work they're doing and right. everything that we can do to help and to further. But then I just think about the guy on the street that you drive past, and how can we have anything but see someone in need and have no pity on them? And if so, as I said, how can the love of God be in us if we do that? It's
right. It's hard. It's not easy. And sometimes you see stuff and your heart is moved. I'm one of those people that if my heart moved because of something, I react right away. I give right away because I feel like it came to me for a reason.
Yeah.
There is a lot of things out there. So obviously you can't help everybody, but it doesn't mean you can't help somebody. So whatever it is that comes to you, like you don't have to go do a Google search and see like right, who you right. can help. It doesn't have to be to that extent. I think if you spend 5 minutes on Facebook or Instagram, you'll see people need help.
Shoot, if we just open our eyes and look outside.
Yeah, just look in your right? whatever, like around you, you're in your city or whatever. But help is everywhere. I mean, there's a lot of people that need help. If you want to help, there's a lot of, you know, like IGM, you can always donate there, or you can help whatever mission God put on your heart. That's the one that you should be moved by it yeah. and help in that extent. But sometimes help is not necessarily about money. Sometimes it's picking up the phone and saying hi, or asking someone how you're doing, or
yeah.
how can I pray for you, or what can I do? Because we're in this culture where everybody, when you say hi, how are you, they answer, I'm good, I'm okay. And they're not. They're far away from it. They're very far away from it. And sometimes giving is actually in listening as well. It's very hard to find someone that wants to listen. I mean, I don't know why, but I guess it's written on my forehead that I'm a listener. So people always want to just tell me their problems, which is fine because I have, you know, the ability to listen to people. But some people,
you're a good advice giver too.
Yeah,
it's
you know, I guess it's a gift. It's a gift.
Yeah, it's a gift.
And I want to listen to people. I think sometimes it's part of being compassionate too.
Being a good listener is like it's I just hard. Said, it's a gift because you don't want to open up to somebody who then starts to open up or start comparing mm-hmm. or telling you, well, and then I went through this and I went through that and I did it. It's just listen. Sometimes people need someone to listen rather than to tell them. So yeah, you are good at that. You're really good at that.
And some people don't have that ear and don't have the patience for it, and that's mm-hmm. okay. But what is your strength? Everybody has a strength. If it's your pocket, great. If it's not, is it your heart? Is it your ear? Whatever. Something. God give you something. Sometimes even, you know, I was thinking about the other day, like, some people have the compassion of building or the time to give time to something, to a mission or, you know, whatever it is. Some people don't have that time. Some people don't have the body strength to like help build something or stand in the line for somebody or pick up groceries for somebody, whatever it is. But we all are the hands and feet of Jesus. All of us. And somebody's a toe and somebody's a head. So whatever it is, you're part of the body, and part of it,
the body of Christ.
You have to do something.
You know?
And don't just sit there and be complacent about it, because everybody needs somebody.
And I like how you relate it to giving of time, giving of a listening ear, blessing someone in ways other than material, monetary ways, because I think sometimes we often think like that's the only way I can give. Like, I'm so busy that I'd rather write a check sometimes than give my time. And I'm working on that. I'm trying to be better at that. Like, I want to be able to give more of my time so I can just be present and be able to help or be able to talk or be able to do whatever it may be. You're really good at giving of your time, at listening, at allowing people to vent to you, open up to you.
They just do it automatically. It's just written in my forehead. Like, hey, tell me your life story.
But I want to like highlight these verses because as you read them, man, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Just think about it and ponder that. And obviously 25:40, Matthew 20 is so powerful. Whatever we do for the least, whatever you do for the least of my brothers and sisters, you do for me. But then I go back to 1 John 3:17. If we have anything and see someone with and not have any pity on them, how can the love of God be in us? Let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. That is so strong. That is so powerful. Warwick Dunn has been doing that throughout his life in extreme circumstances that he had overcome, and he did it. And you'll hear his story coming up. And it is something that we should all think about in different ways. How can we give? What can we do? So I hope You stay tuned. You hear what Warwick has to talk about. It's an incredible journey and an incredible story. Up next, you're going to hear from Warwick Dunn. You're listening to Faith on a Field Show, presented by International Justice Mission with Rob and Remy Mahdi.
Today, over 40 million people are being forced into trafficking and slavery. One in four are children. We cannot allow them to suffer in silence. We need you. We need everybody. Go to IJM.org/take action. Get information. Understand how you can be involved. Because of the work that you are committing to do, they will be free.
Karen University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at karen.edu.
Since 1930, the Heritage family has proudly served the communities of South Jersey. From humble roots, Heritage's Dairy Stores now operates 33 convenient locations. Their desire is to become your convenience store of choice, not just because of their welcoming atmosphere, but because of their fresh, quality products. Heritage's milk is still the sweetest, coffee's hot and fresh, and Heritage's full-service delis offer the best local ingredients prepared and sliced on-site, far exceeding the competition. Heritage's Dairy Stores. It's not just our name, it's our heritage.
This is JT Romito, and you're listening to the Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome back to Faith on a Field Show, presented by International Justice Mission. I'm Rob Mahdi with Remy. If you're listening to us for the first time, you can go to faithonafieldshow.com. Find every episode since we launched in 2017. We've had an awesome lineup of guests, and you can listen anytime at your convenience. On any of the podcast platforms, you'll hear the full interviews on there. Be sure also to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Faith on the Field, and tell a friend about the show. I want to take a minute to thank all of our wonderful sponsors. Please check them out on our website. International Justice Mission and the incredible work that they do. Go to IJM.org, Karen University, Heritage's Dairy Stores, Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates. Thank you to all of them. If you would like to be a sponsor for our show and help our ministry grow, please reach out to us at team@faithonafieldshow.com. We have various packages we can cater specifically to fit your needs. Our goal is to be on a sports radio station in every state. So if you don't have a business to advertise on but want to help the ministry, we have a donate button on our page on faithonafieldshow.com. You can also help out by purchasing some of our merch through Remy's 828 Threads Apparel store. We have t-shirts and so much more. Check it out. Really cool stuff. You can find it on our site, faithonafieldshow.com, under merch. Our guest this week is Warwick Dunn. Warwick is a three-time Pro Bowl running back who played 12 seasons in the NFL. He played six with Tampa, six with Atlanta. He ran for nearly 11,000 yards, caught 500 passes, more than 500 passes, for a combined 64 touchdowns. You heard me discuss his journey to the NFL earlier in the show. Here's my conversation with Warwick Dunn, presented by International Justice Mission.
Warwick, as a former Tampa Bay Buccaneer, how excited were you to see them win the Super Bowl and all the success that they've had?
Yeah, well, no, I'm not going to pull against the Bucs. It's an organization I played for 6 years, so I was pulling for them. I was hoping that they would bring a championship to the city of Tampa and that Tampa Bay community. So I was pulling for them. It's no hard feelings. And yeah, I get hit all the time about, hey, how was that Super Bowl? This or that's like, well, I left and went to Atlanta. So it's a stinger every once in a while to have individuals thinking that I won a Super Bowl when I didn't. So it's all good, though.
Well, you did end up finishing your career there. You went back, so there couldn't have been any hard feelings, right? You finished your career in Tampa the last season.
Yeah, it's no hard feelings at all. It's a great organization. I grew up a lot in Atlanta, and my early years, Tampa was, you really set the foundation for me. My younger brothers and sisters moved in with me when I was there, so I had a lot on my shoulders, and I just really grew up and matured, I think much more in Atlanta just because, I started going to counseling and all those things that really just helped me get that weight off my shoulders and expand. And Tampa is one of my homes. This is my second, you know, my third home, you know, after Baton Rouge, Tallahassee, Tampa. So I go back and forth. It's still part of my, obviously my history and my life. It's an important city that was a part of my growth and opportunity. So I'm going to forever be grateful.
Well, Warwick, tell me a little bit about your journey to the NFL. You mentioned your siblings. You're the oldest of six. You had single mother, Betty Smothers, who was a police officer who was killed when you were 18. How did you deal with that, go to school, develop into an NFL talent prospect in college, and at the same time be responsible for your siblings?
Well, I can tell you, when I lost my mom, I wasn't focused on football. It was nothing. I was focused more on my brothers and sisters and family. And that was really my driving force. It wasn't to play in the National Football League. You know, I wanted to set the example. You go to college and have that opportunity, you need to get a degree. So that was important for me. I just think over the years, talent-wise, I developed at an early age. And I just think I started to understand and learn a lot about the game. And, you know, when I went to college, I tell you, I never thought about playing professional football. I didn't think I was big enough. And I didn't realize I can play at the next level until after my junior year when everyone thought I was leaving. But, you know, during those times, my focus was family, my brothers and sisters. I mean, that they were the most important thing. You know, when my mom passed, you know, I wanted to make sure that I was there for them. So it wasn't about work anymore. It was about making sure that, you know, they had a roof over their head, that I was going to support them and take care of them. And that was really more my driving force to make sure I can take care of my five younger brothers and sisters.
How instrumental were men like Bobby Bowden and Tony Dungy for you early on in that process as you're trying to navigate through all of those difficulties and everything that you were going through?
Well, they were father figures, men that I looked up to, that during specific times in my life that I really relied on. For an example, at Florida State, I used to go to Coach Bowden's office almost like once a week and just talk to him about family, you know, things that, you know, I was dealing with, you know, trying to help and raise kids from afar in Tallahassee back in Baton Rouge. And he just gave me examples. He was someone that I can rely on. And I took that information. I made decisions and, you know, he really helped me. He was always there for me. Door was always open. And when I got drafted with Coach Dungy, him and his wife, his family, they were there for me as well. I mean, you know, my second year, a lot of people don't know this, I moved the youngest three in with me. So I have to find a school. I'm going to PTA meetings. I'm going to, you know, games on Friday nights and throughout the week. And it was so much pressure that I had to make sure they get to school, get home, do homework, cook dinner. You know, I was in the, you know, I had so much stress my second year, and this happened in my second year, that I relied on Coach Dungy and his wife to really help me through that journey. And I credit his wife, Lauren, that she was really there to help time of need because and trying to be, you know, in their guidance and their assistance and their help. So, and you have to rely on a lot of friends for that.
Tony is a strong man of faith. I know Bobby Bowden is too. How did they help you spiritually, guide you in your faith journey at that time and as it's continued to develop?
For him, it was really important that he show us that because we come from different backgrounds, we can all come together as one, because that's what we're going to need on Saturdays. And he was just someone that really, you know, took the faith. And every Friday night, he started talking with the team through a Bible verse that really translated into what was happening on the football field. So he made it relate, and I just think that I just built on top of that because I had, you know, a Christian individual and Charlie Ward who was there for me my freshman year. And then when now I go to other Christian men, Coach Dungy, that really, you know, push family, you know, God, family, and everything else. And I'm just thankful that I had their guidance and definitely a time of need for me.
Warwick, as you are going through all of that as a young player and your siblings, three of them are moving in with you and you're taking care of all, yet you still were able to launch the Warwick Dunn Charities at the end of your first season, at the end of a rookie year. That's a big time task to do. What inspired you to do that, to launch that, to start moving into that area of giving?
I started a program, Homestar Holidays program, my rookie year. And I was challenged by Coach Dungy to be a part of the community, give back, care about your neighbor. And, you know, I tried to think of things that I can really relate to and be passionate about. And I thought about my mom and the dream that she had and what she wanted. And, you know, that first year, I decided to help three single moms Tuesday before Thanksgiving to become first-time homeowners, because I knew my mom, she never could save up money for a down payment, we wouldn't have been able to fully furnish a home. So I wanted to help other families who had the same issues that my mom had. So for me, it's been growth. It's been a great opportunity. And Coach Dungy, I owe it to him for challenging all the rookies to get involved and give back and care about their community.
Well, that giving comes from a servant heart, comes from a spiritual background. Christ came to serve, not to be served. How much of an influence was that for you?
Well, I grew up in a household that my grandmother had open door policy. I had people living in the house that I had no idea who they were. You know, we just took people in. We fed people. I mean, we were just so giving. We would go out of our way to do things for people. And I learned at an early age, to care about not just yourself, but your neighbor. And once, once my mom passed, the city of Baton Rouge taught me what it meant to really care about your neighbor. They started a fund for us, people donated, and that's how we were able to pay bills. So, you know, I learned at an early age to care about people, but the city of Baton Rouge solidified that for me after my mom had passed. So I credit a lot my family and the city of Baton Rouge for that.
Ward, can you tell me what your charities are doing now to address the issues that minorities are still facing today in regards to equality and oppression in so many areas, from education to employment to financial literacy and policing and home ownership, as you've really taken on as a challenge to address?
Well, for me, I think it starts really with housing. We can address a lot of the issues, but if we can really start things off by addressing housing, that's the quickest way to build wealth in this country for families. But it's also having stability creates a opportunity for kids to live a better and stable life, perform better in school. They're much, they tend to want to thrive and just be better people overall. But having a stable housing is key to that. But over the years, we've transitioned and not just focusing on having housing, but we also have these other tentacles that we have to help kids and families on. And that's financial literacy. So we have a program now that's called Count on Your Future. We really try to educate kids on not necessarily just checks and balances, but, you know, spend your money on need and not always the things that you want. You could save up for that. But we also try to incentivize them to start a savings account. And we will match them up to $500 on the savings account. Do that if they want to participate. So we really try to incentivize them to do the right things with their dollars and have financial responsibilities early on, so they understand the value of the dollar as they get older. And we also have a program, because all the food insecurities that go on that are in this country, you have 35 million Americans that are in have food insecurities, food deserts, or, you know, they have a lot of issues providing healthy and safe meals for their families. And if we can help families with that, and we've tried to do that through our program Sculpt, where we try to teach families cook quick and healthy meals, affordable meals. But also we got to the point that we're trying to help them grow their own vegetable garden in their backyard, build a vegetable box, grow their own vegetables in the backyard. So now they have healthy opportunity to, you know, grow tomatoes and those things in their backyard to really help them. But we try to incentivize them to use coupons. We really just trying to holistically support the family through their journey of home ownership. And there's so many issues as dealing with that, and just the inequalities that families face when it comes to home ownership. the opportunity to help advance their families through with education. When you live in low-income communities, usually the schools are not high-performing schools. They just don't have the same resources and access to healthcare and so forth in these, you know, just low-income, moderate communities. And, you know, for me, it's really supporting those families and those individuals along that journey of ownership, but also pushing them to do their part. You know, we don't give handouts. What we do is we really assist families and give them a hand up. So if you do your part, we're going to do our part to support you. And I think it's important that we don't forget about our neighbor. One person successful, hey, you can reach back and really give a helping hand, but that person has to do their part to help support themselves through their journey, because we've all worked hard. We're all committed, but you have to do your part. And we try to hold people accountable, you know, anytime we do anything for them.
Warwick Dunn Charities are hosting two events in June. You have the Juneteenth celebration on June 10. Why is it important for you to host this? It's a new event, I know, for you guys.
Well, it's important. I know June 10th is Steve Weish and I are going to have a conversation just about diversity and inclusion. You know, we want to be able to educate companies on the topic, but also give them solutions. I just think, you know, the biggest step towards that, you know, we could, you know, the biggest step towards that for me, it would be starting a dialogue. A lot of times people don't want to talk about a lot of the issues, but you have to be open and honest and have a open dialogue about the issues, but then come with how can we solve these problems and make, you know, diversity and inclusion and corporation equal for all and not just for the upper echelon. So we're really going to push that. And I know on that event is June 10th. So we have one June 25th, where it's really for Warwick Dunn Charities, Wine, Dine, and Cigars, where now we're going to have a bunch of celebrities. I have, you know, great host, Say Still, Mike Hill, and Roe Parrish from TNT Sports. You know, I have those individuals going to be co-hosting the event with me, and we're just going to have a lot of celebrities, but we try to incentivize companies to take part in this as well. They're also going to have a blackjack room, a trivia room. You know, we're planning to have a cigar roller. So we're trying to, you know, make this easy and painless as possible. You can do it from your home. We really want corporations to be a part of this and really understand the importance of community and people. We do have a lot of corporate partners at the moment. Hoffman Financial, Accord Care, PNC Bank, RGT Wealth Advisors, and the Owens. So and Open Sesame. So we're there. We're supporting and you know, we're pushing people to be involved, to give back and take part in this. And what we would do is that we would also provide a gift box that we would ship a gift box to participants' home so they can actually sit at home and enjoy opportunity to mingle with a lot of great celebrities. So I have Chris Tucker right now, Neo, I have Gary Sheffield, so Richard Dent, Marcus Allen, have a lot of these guys that are involved that are committed to being a part of it, you know, Rondé Barber and so forth. So we're growing our list of individuals who are going to participate, and they can go and mingle and move around to different rooms to help definitely engage with events and take part in the event. So it's a lot of bantering, probably just going to go back and forth when you have athletes that are competing.
Well, yeah, I see a lot of names. There's some good talkers in there too. I'd anticipate maybe a little bit of Rondé Barber trash talking anybody. I don't know what that's going to look like. So who are you excited to see out there?
Well, you know, for me, I think John Randall, I used to always play against John Randall all the time. He's going to participate. So he's someone that probably would talk trash on the low. You just never know. We're also going to Marcus Allen. And when I came in, Marcus was at the end and he used to try to mentor me. So, you know, now today it's just it's good to have him around and support. And I know Gary Sheffield, and I have other guys who are going to come on board as well, that, you know, we're all competitive. Athletes like to compete. And when you compete, you talk a lot of trash. So it's a lot of banter that goes back and forth. So I'm just, you know, for me, I'm just happy these guys are supporting. And, you know, I have currently also Michael Jenkins, who, you know, he's in the NFL right now. So I can probably banter him a little bit about, I don't know if you would tackle me today if we were playing against each other. I would probably make a miss. So that, you know, but he's a talented safety that I would have to make miss an open field. But I'm sure I'll tell him I will win that battle for sure. But, you know, it's going to be fun.
No doubt. Marcus Allen, you said mentored you. Are there any younger guys that you reach out to or reach out to you nowadays in the game that look to you for guidance and mentorship? Any running backs?
Well, a lot of guys today, they don't really reach out. You know, I've developed some relationships with, you know, definitely guys who went to Florida State, someone who plays here in Atlanta. I would obviously talk with them and try to give them pointers and so forth. But, you know, I try not to force myself on people. I really just try to, you know, let them come to me and provide guidance when asked for. If they ask, I would give you the information, but I'm not going to force myself. And today, the game is different. The kids are a lot different. You know, it's more instant gratification, or they know what to do. They feel like they know what to do. But I, you know, I'm a student of the game. And, you know, when I watch football, it's a lot different than I'm sitting with a friend watching it. I'm looking at, you know, they didn't take the right step, or, you know, this route was too short. You know, I'm just looking at all the technical things, because for me, that's what the game was about. If you're technically sound, you practice your craft, you know, you can beat people who are quicker than you and faster than you just because of the fundamentals of the game.
Last one for you. What would you say to Julio Jones? There's obviously talk about him wanting out of Atlanta. You know what it's like when, if the grass is greener somewhere else. So what would you say to him if he reached out to you?
Well, I would guide Julio. You have to do what's in your best interest. You know, this is a business, and, you know, you can't take it personal. You know, Julio's a great player, but I would always tell him you have to do what's in your best interest. Put your family first. I mean, the teams, they're going to do and make business decisions. That's just a part of it. And he has to do what's in his best interest, he feels like. And I know the Falcons are going to do what's in their best interest. So time will tell what really happens. But Julio's a great player. He's been great for years. You know, I know that he just wants to win. And I think, you know, all athletes, they want to take that next step forward and win. So, you know, whatever happens, happens. But he's a great player, and I'm happy that I've, you know, gotten a chance to get to know him a little bit.
Warwick, always a pleasure to talk to you, man. And everything you do is tremendous. Great work, especially with the homes for everyone. So thank you for all that you do, and appreciate you spending some time with me.
No, I appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
That was Warwick Dunn. Thank you to Warwick for joining us this week. Thank you to Doug, Pastor Scott, Josh, and everyone on our Faith on the Field team. And thank you for listening to Faith on the Field Show, presented by International Justice Mission. With Remy, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.
Today, over 40 million people are being forced into trafficking and slavery. One in four are children. We cannot allow them to suffer in silence. We need you. We need everybody. Go to IJM.org/take action. Get information. Understand how you can be involved. Because of the work that you are committing to do, they will be free.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Caron University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Caron is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Caron is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at caron.edu/visit.
Did you know creating your legacy documents, will, power of attorney, advanced medical directive, etc. is important because it allows you to have control over how your estate will be distributed upon your passing? You also get to decide who will make decisions, both financial and medical, if you are incapacitated and unable to make them for yourself. It allows a trusted family member or friend to become the decision maker. Without these documents, these types of decisions will be determined by a court based upon state laws that may or may not be in order with your desires and intentions. I have two daughters and realized they could be in trouble if something happened to my wife and I. Thank goodness for Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates, because now Remy and I have our estate planning documents in place to protect our family, which is even more important during these challenging times. Make your appointment with Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates at 856-428-2266. Like I did, to get the peace of mind that estate planning can bring. That's 856-428-2266.
With 33 convenient locations, Heritage's Dairy Stores desires to be your deli of choice. Heritage's full-service delis offer great-tasting products for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. The Hairy Egg Breakfast Sandwich, made with two farm-fresh eggs, cheese, choice meat on a fresh Kaiser roll, makes morning simple. Heritage's famous subs are built on freshly baked Lissio rolls and feature Dietz and Watson premium meats and cheeses, freshly sliced anytime. Making lunches at home? Try one of our lunchbox specials, which are sure to please. Heritage's Dairy Stores, our family, your hometown deli.
We have operations all over the world, rescuing people from slavery. Because today there are criminals who abuse children, sell girls.
How old is she?
12.
12?
How much?
30?
Yeah, I'm afraid.
And force families into slavery. Criminals prey on the easiest target, the world's poor, because they expect no one to defend them.
Pareha po tayong mga tao. Hindi po tayo ibagay or hayop na pwedeng gamitin lang sa pansarili.
But today, there are thousands of people gathering to seek justice for those in slavery. We are a group of lawyers, counselors, activists, and supporters. We are called International Justice Mission. And together, we form the largest international anti-slavery organization in the world. But slavery won't come to an end until criminals know they can't get away with it. So we partner with local police to arrest and prosecute criminals. This sends a message to slave owners. We will not go away. We stay with the survivors until they are healed, until they are free.
Natulungan po ako ng IJM sa pamamagitan po na sa case ko, sa pagtulong po nila na ma-overcome ko po yung fear.
Each year, we rescue thousands of slaves and protect millions around the world. We are transforming how justice systems protect their citizens. To those who are still enslaved, we promise to find you. We will get you home to your families, so you can have the freedom you deserve.